Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I am Dr. Demoniaco Jr. With my mask, I fight back the shadows, because sometimes it takes a demon to hold back hell.
I'm Light Show, the human disco ball.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 9, Dr. Demoniaco Jr., El Increíble Light Show. Issue 1, La Vampira Máscara Regresa. The cover is old-fashioned, with faded colors and huge block lettering, clearly based off of the comics of the original Dr. Demoniaco, or Vigo del Santo. We see the back of Light Show, with arms up to protect himself from the jumping frog splash of Dr. Demoniaco Jr. Both capes are letting out shouts of rage and drawn in huge, muscular forms.
The first panel shows a dark, dingy sewer with just filth and vileness moving through it. Up through the manhole above, you can see a cloudy sky that the full moon just barely pierces through. There's a hissing sound, a horrible, wretched noise, and we see a claw moving on the ground, dragging, ripping through the stone, hairy and twisted. And we get a voice.
Yes, I'll get him. I'll finish him off forever. I will destroy Dr. Demonomico.
Cut! And the next panel shows the interior of the set of Light Show's show. Yeah. And Light Show is standing nearby by Craft Services, and there's a guy in a very elaborate werewolf arm. The rest of he's just in plain clothes other than that, and he's turning to the director and going like, "Oh, Mike, I'm sorry. Like, it's... This was like a Dr. Demoniaco thing, and like
I think there is a caption from off. There's a voice panel from off screen that says, "It's you said Demonomico. It's Demoniaco."
I'm sorry, Mike. I'm trying. And then we go to Light Show, looking every bit the hero. While... what are you chomping on?
It's a corn muffin.
It's a corn muffin. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And your this shot has been interrupted.
Yeah.
And frankly, they're not going to get it next take either. It's the same garbage that it so frequently is.
Yeah.
At that point, you feel your phone. Do you have your phone on silent, or would it be ringing?
It's probably on silent.
Okay. You don't have, like, the Light Show theme song play?
No, but it's probably out.
Like, okay.
He would be holding it,
yeah,
probably.
And you notice that you have suddenly started to get a bunch of extra little blings of new followers.
Ooh.
It's this, like... sudden influx, and this happens sometimes. You know, you get a retweet, you get someone.
Yeah.
Centurion a while ago said that they really liked the show, which came
oh,
out
nice.
Of total left field.
Yeah.
But that was a great moment, which you're not really sure exactly what it is yet. And then that ends Light Show for now.
Okay.
Because we're gonna hop over to Dr. Demoniaco,
Junior.
Sure,
Dr. Junior.
Doc.
Yep.
It's 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And, you know.
School's
let out. There's the monsters haven't come out yet.
Right.
And so on your Google Calendar, you definitely have put down wrestling practice.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Where are you?
I am it is a widescreen shot of like a suburban street. I think it's a series of panels. The first panel is just an empty street. The second panel, messenger bag in a real proper school uniform, messenger bag slung over his shoulder,
yeah,
is like a 17, like a beanpole 17-year-old barreling down. And then we see this like back alley gymnasium.
Yeah.
We see him grab the handle, throw himself inside, and just like holding on to maybe some rock climbing rocks is just like, sorry, I'm late.
And standing in the gym, in his standard, just crappy sweatsuit, mm-hmm. is Angel Flores, the original Dr. Demoniaco.
Mm-hmm.
And he, on his shirt, he has the Dr. Demoniaco symbol, mm-hmm. because, you know.
I think the very old school mask design, yeah.
Yeah, the old school mask design, and it's an old beat-up shirt. And he just stands there for a moment, completely still.
And I am the picture of animated right now. Like, I'm holding on to, like, rock climbing,
yeah, we get
hands on the knees, I'm just what? And I, like, handshaking, I grab a water bottle and chug it down.
And we get a couple panels that show just him perfectly still, mm-hmm. and you, like, going through this big, like, a gangly, awkward thing. And you grab a water bottle, he picks up a glove and just hurls it at you. And unless you want to, are you good? You're in your teenage form right now,
yeah.
right? So you probably don't have,
I don't
your
have,
reflexes are not great at the moment.
No.
Yeah, that bottle goes popping right out of your hand.
I stand there for a moment, and this is the first time I'm really still inside the gym, and I just nod. Yeah, I deserve that. I deserve that.
And he nods and he says, come on, Luciano. You're going to have to do twice as much, twice as quickly to catch up.
You're right. You are always right. And I take off the uniform and I put on my sweatsuit, and it has the same old school, which is
nice.
It's a very classical lucha mask. So it's big circle, big.
Yeah.
It's black and it's red with black trim. So it's cool. Got black eye holes. It's got the very square mouth and like a little triangle nose hole.
Yeah.
Very classic looking.
Yeah. And I realized I totally didn't describe Angel at all. He's an older man. He's been mm-hmm. at this for a little while and he's definitely stopped keeping up with things.
Yeah.
He's got himself a gut. He's lost a lot of his hair, but he's made up for that by growing a nice firm mustache.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But importantly, he still has great pythons coming at yep. you. Yeah, Hulkamania style.
And he's
big, huge arms.
And I think he's got that body. He's got that. He's kind of transitioned into having like peak wrestler body where he's jacked into sort of old school wrestler body
yeah.
where he just kind of looks.
Just kind of big.
Just kind of indiscriminately large.
Yeah. He's kind of making that transition. And
yeah.
like, his face has kind of kept it together. And like he has like very firm lines mm-hmm. at like his cheekbones and things like that. And the mustache helps.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, he's not fighting any vampires.
Yeah, right.
And in the background, you can see that there's an episode of Light Show's TV mm-hmm. show that he just kind of like has on in the background and has been watching. He has the volume off. With Spanish subtitles up there.
Perfect.
Because that's, of course, how he
right.
how he brings it in. And actually, I think throughout this conversation, does Luciano speak Spanish?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think Angel prefers to speak Spanish.
He's
going
to
be speaking
yeah,
in Spanish.
Yeah, I think we're speaking to each other. I think the whole time we're speaking Spanish
yeah.
to each other.
And so it's got like the little italicized
yeah.
thing and the little Spanish.
Yeah.
With occasional words that are just said in Spanish on the page, because that's how we do comics.
Yep.
And we get a couple panels that show you just doing bizarre stuff that doesn't make sense as regular exercise
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm.
So like a lot of like balancing while pulling on something
mm-hmm.
and a lot of like really weird plank positions,
mm-hmm.
Just weird stuff that he thinks is very important.
Mm-hmm.
But you're starting to tell that, like, his heart, like, he's not fully in it. He seems really distracted.
Coach, boss, what's wrong? You don't seem... Normally, you're the one asking me this, but you don't seem like your heart's in it today.
And he pauses for a moment, and there's just this panel that shows him next to a big poster mm-hmm. of him from his younger days. And he says, every year, this city gets worse. Every year, there's another Inspector Insector, another Santo Sangre, another just punk that needs kicking around. And for the past 6 months, streets have been quiet from our side of things, you know? When's the last time you saw a mummy?
That's a really good question. I mean, I saw some on the set, but those were stage
mummies. No, like real mummy, right?
I don't even know that. There was the one. Yeah, there was Mummy Maestro.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we get a panel that is it's on the TV.
Yeah.
And like we get a panel like that is squared frame with the television and it's got like the lines on it. And we see Dr. Demoniaco Jr. with the mask, and we see him like a very TV show thing of him fighting a mummy who is in a top hat, coat, and tails with a conductor's thing.
Amazing. Yeah.
There was Mummy Maestro, but that was like right when I started. Like, I haven't seen one in months.
When did you start?
About 6 months ago.
Oof. That's too long. They should be back by now. I haven't heard anything from any vampires. We had a full moon 3 days ago.
Not a one? Not a one werewolf?
Not one werewolf.
Not one howl?
And you know what? That makes me nervous. When they're out here trying to fight us, trying to kill us.
Then we can fight.
If we don't know where they are, that gets me worried. Something big's coming. I just know that.
We cut to the next thing, and then we get the little narrator panel with a quote in it. And it says, well, when they come, we'll be ready.
So our next shot, do the two of you like get together when you're not fighting monsters together?
I think I'm an intern. I think when I'm not in the mask, I'm an intern. I intern some days.
At the TV show? Awesome. Okay. So this is going to be then the next day.
Okay.
What do you do as an intern there?
Get coffee.
So we get the next panel that Luciano, we now obviously recognize. We've seen him before.
Mm-hmm.
And he's there like bringing some coffee in. Light show. Where are you when kind of like the writers and stuff like that are having their discussions? Do you like try to get involved in that, or do you sort of step back?
No, I step back.
Okay.
There is a large portion of the show that actually takes place in a wrestling ring.
Okay.
And it's done up. It's a studio. So I don't know if there are even really stands for people to watch. Like maybe there are.
Yeah.
But they're mostly there just for the aesthetics of it.
Yeah.
But like ultimately, whether we do stuff on sets. But all of the like the final battles of every episode ends up in this just arbitrarily ends up in this wrestling ring.
Yeah, of course.
And so he probably just hangs out there.
Okay.
On his phone, looking at Twitter.
Yeah.
Looking at Snapchat. Looking at Instagram.
Of course, lots of selfies. And we get a panel that shows the network execs. I mean, not the network execs. The people that run the show, and they all are gathered around a table, and they've got. They've got some flyers that they're looking at. They have like really dark expressions on their faces. Like they look very sort of confused and concerned. And one of them is saying, so then who paid for these? Like it's not in the budget anywhere. Advertising wasn't supposed to have anything to do with this. This seems really targeted and really bizarre. And that's when Luciano is coming up with some mm-hmm. of their coffees.
Mm-hmm. He's got the crate. He's got a six spot crate, and it's got like four of them because I'm kind of picturing like four of these executives.
Yeah.
And then there's a fifth one. There's an empty slot, and then there's a fifth one with a can of Corn Vanta in it that he's like squared away for himself.
Yeah, just kind of keeping.
And so he hands them out, and he takes it, and like as he looks down, like we get a shot of him like drinking the can a little bit. Yeah, and he kind of just looks over. You know, just innocent curiosity looking over at these.
Yeah, it looks a lot like the sort of hang-up flyers that you might have in your own promotion.
Right.
That it's kind of someone printed it in their basement because they have a colored printer. And it says, Vampira Mascara and El Lunito challenge Light Show and Dr. Demoniaco Jr. to a fight to the death. And it has like a big, like really out of focus werewolf and vampire thing kind of going on. It's very much like big gothic text. Not like good gothic, but like, you know, like Splatterhouse sort of
chiller font. Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Chiller font right there. And it has like a date, which is tonight, and a time. It doesn't have a location, but it definitely seems to be calling you and Light Show out. And as far as you know, like, you're here on the set relatively often. They haven't, as far as you know, figured out, like, just literally putting a character that is you into the show.
And I stare at it for a long time, and I think I reach for one of the flyers.
Yeah.
And then we get a panel of the executive, like, shooting me daggers, so I just kind of, like, take a photo of it with my phone.
Yeah.
And we see it just on a text message screen. We see the flyer, and it says, "Well, quiet times are over."
Awesome. And the post does actually have Light Show's Twitter handle on it, which is possibly part of the reason you've been getting a... Yeah, no, but like, you know, like you are a contact for this, which is part of the reason a bunch of people have been following you. And starting today, you started to get a lot of people asking you, like, when, like, where? How do I tune in? Where do I go? Is it a live event? So what are you doing about that?
Well, I'm definitely responding to everybody to let them know that it's live.
Yeah. Okay. That it is live. Okay.
Yeah. But that we haven't settled on a location yet.
Okay.
I wouldn't want them to think that I don't know what's going on. Yeah. So like maybe I've thrown some shade, like subtle implications that like the challengers haven't decided like when they're gonna be ready.
Nice.
But like we're obviously like we have a location, like we have a set. There's a lot of places in the city we could go.
Yeah. And so like you're getting a lot of your like the emoji pair that people send you, which is like the light bulb and then the strong arm.
Yeah.
But they're not giving you a ton of information too. I think at this point you've probably seen the poster.
Yeah.
Do you know that Luciano is Dr. Demoniaco Jr.?
I like that I don't.
Okay, cool.
Because I think we mostly hang out like in a professional capacity.
Okay.
Like hunting demons.
Yeah.
So then I think you get a text from the number you have as Dr. Demoniaco Jr.
Yeah.
That is just an address.
Okay.
And
okay.
Like, it just is an address. It's like 413 Kirby Street now.
Nice. And so at that point, are you also like getting on out of there?
Yeah, I feign a phone call from my parents.
Yeah. Then a number's like, the number you have dialed is not currently in service. We get a panel that shows Luciano like kind of hightailing it out of there, faking the phone and going like, yeah, mom, I'm on my way right away. Definitely going to be there super fast. And then the panel comes back to you receiving the text, Light Show.
Yeah. And so he probably just like looks down at the text, looks up, looks around, sees that there's another like production assistant. Mm-hmm. And he just kind of like yells over. He says, Hey Frank, I got, homework to do. I'll be back later.
We're supposed to be shooting in five. We're going to be starting up the next scene.
Look, I got school.
Man, if you have school, you need to like get that taken care of ahead of time. Like, you can't just be some kid screwing around if you want to be Light Show. And he's trying to shift your labels.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He is trying to... What is he trying to do? The star is so cool and weird. He is trying to raise your mundane and lower your superior.
Oh,
he's saying, like, hey, get your crap together.
I'm going to reject.
Be a serious actor and not a...
And not a kid screwing around.
Because that is not true at all.
Okay. Then you're going to tweet to your 7.2 million followers.
So that's a 9.
Okay. So on a 7 to 9, you hold yourself and tune them out, and you choose one, clearing a condition or marking potential by immediately acting to prove them wrong, shifting one label up and one label down, your choice, or canceling their influence and taking +1 forward against them. And I'll go ahead and say that for these purposes, the kind of low-level production crew will count as one person.
Okay. I'm going to mark potential.
Okay. So you're going to have to immediately act to prove him wrong.
Yeah. So there's that interaction, and we see that like pulled that panel is pulled back. We can see that because like Light Show is up in the ring and Frank is just like over by the craft services table, coming to collect stuff for the executives. And then it like the next panel is just a super, super close up of Light Show's face.
Yeah.
And he just pulls the goggles down and turns, and it like cuts back to Frank. And you just see like the word bubble from off screen, and Light Show just says, "Hey man, I'm Light Show. You can't replace me." And then there's just like a panel of Frank's face. And it's just like with like dazzling disco lights, like blinding all over his face. And then the final panel is the ring again.
Yeah.
But Light Show is gone.
Yeah. And Frank is like rubbing his eyes and going like, you never work with kids and animals, and that kid is both of them. And so our next shot, where did you tell him to go?
I told him to go to not Angel's ring.
Okay.
It is the PCW ring, Protean City Wrestling.
Awesome.
It is the local promotion. And it is Light Show's ring, the studio ring is nice.
Yeah.
It is, you know, clean, it is polished. It's maybe a little over polished. There's like set pieces around it.
Yeah.
This is we get a wide shot, and it is in an industrial park. There are cars with no tires.
Oh my god.
There are like smokestacks billowing. It is in a straight up industrial part of town.
Yeah.
And then we cut to a tiny warehouse that has been converted.
Nice.
And there's like a dirty kind of gray brown ring, and I am and Doctor is kind of propped on the top rope.
Okay.
Kind of like hands between his feet in sort of a crouching position.
Yeah.
And we get a shot from we see the back of Light Show's head, and we see Doctor kind of crouching in this position.
Yeah.
And the next panel is wordlessly Dr. Demoniaco Jr. jumping at a frog splash off of the top rope at Light Show.
Oh, jeez. Oh, no. Light Show, what do you do?
I think that he is going to just try to, like, sidestep.
Okay.
And just be cool about it.
Okay. Are you, like, straight up, are you directly engaging him?
No. I think I'm doing this. And then, like, when you sidestep, I kind of, like, roll through and onto my feet.
Yeah.
And I kind of just stare him in the eyes, and I'm like, good. You have to be ready. This is no time for showmanship. This is a time for action.
We get just like the two of you like really squared off. Then the next panel shows 5 minutes earlier, and it shows Dr. Demoniaco looking at his phone and seeing sent 30 minutes ago to Angel, and there hasn't been a response from him. And he's not always great about his cell phone. But
this is something he would have responded to.
This is a little unusual. It's not enough that, like, you're getting panicked or anything like that, but it's enough that, for example, you might be a little on edge and might.
I think he's never been great about his cell phone, but except for, I think, in regards to superhero business.
That's
in regards
amazing,
to the
that means
job.
He, like, just leaves you on red sometimes. Because it's not, that's not superhero stuff. I don't need to respond to it.
I'll respond to that in a minute.
Yeah. And I think at that point, you've managed to rustle up a flyer. So you have the information.
So I hand you a crumpled up ball as I'm saying, like, this is a time for action. This is a time to be serious. This is a time to... Because you have influence on me, I want to tweak this a little bit. As I hand you the paper, I say, this is a time to be the hero that I know you can be.
This is a time to bring in a lot of people to see us do something awesome. Like, how frequently do we get to have people come and see us fight actual demons? Like, seriously, this is going to be the best.
And we've got, like, a really wide splash shot of this conversation happening, so we get, like, a lot of little panels that just shows just the junk all around you and how totally unsuitable this would be to actually gather an audience for, more than, like, the small group that tends
like
to come out.
Like, 30 people, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask Light Show a question.
Okay.
Because I think I know the answer from Doc already.
Yeah.
How much do you keep up with the supernatural villain scene?
Oh, not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all.
So I'm going to say that you definitely know about Mascara Vampira.
Okay.
Because there's no avoiding knowing that while doing, like, the show. Because it was decided that that was public domain enough that they could just include her.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she is an old-fashioned wrestler. She wrestled against the first Dr. Demoniaco in the day. But then she got ganked. She's a vampire. And eventually someone was done with her. And she was taken out completely. She was dusted. I think you probably would not know who Elunito is. But you might.
Okay.
Elunito is the, like, son of sort of situation for Rey Luna.
Got it.
Is a young werewolf trying to prove himself and just so angry and so aggressive. Mm-hmm. Like, there have been other comics that are Protean City's just straight up horror imprint stuff that is just vampires and werewolf stuff.
Yep.
That that Lunito's been, like, kicked out of packs.
Got it.
Because they're like, hey, we kill and eat people.
Yeah.
This guy's crazy.
Right.
So this is a weird thing because Lunito doesn't really have good relationships in the supernatural community. Mascara Vampira has been dead for years.
Yep.
And, like, yeah, she was dead before, but
but it's different when you're dusted.
It's different when you're dusted. Yeah. She is kept in a bowl in probably on Hell's home.
Definitely on Hell's. Definitely on Hell's home.
Yeah. And actually, that's perfect. So, like, that does not make any sense.
And I think I relay all of this. I think what it is we see sort of kind of sepia-toned picture versions of both of those, like splash panels with that, with text in quotes in the narrator boxes. And the last panel that we see is Doc relaying this information to Light Show and being like, I don't know how she's back, and I don't know why they're teaming together, but something is seriously amiss.
Yeah, and, like, each of those also has, like, the editor's note from last seen in... I think Vampira Mascara was last seen in Dr. Demoniaco supersized special number 25.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, and Lunito has been recently in a Dr. Demoniaco Jr. comic, but, like, as, like, a side character, just someone, like, kind of just to show how scary someone was. Someone beat up Lunito.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the situation. You still don't have a werewolf.
Wolf.
You still don't have a werewolf. But you're going to soon because the match is scheduled for, like, 3 hours from now, according to the flyer. So what do you do?
I hand you the flyer and I say all of that and I'm like, we don't know where. We're going to have to... We can't afford for them to bring the fight to us. These are not show villains. These are monsters. We need to find them. And I look again at my... I kind of... My eyes go downward towards where my phone is. And I have a bad feeling I know where the first place we should look is.
And it says sent 37 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it should cut to Lightshow's phone with a tweet saying, like, get ready for the biggest fight you've ever seen sent 2 minutes ago to Twitter. And then he is typing up a new tweet or a new message.
Yeah.
And it just says, everything is part of the mystery. Will you be the first one to discover where the fight is? If you see Vampira or Lunito, snap a picture of them and send it my way. The first person to discover the secret location of the match will get followed by me, Lightshow. And he hits send.
And like, please, Lightshow has a hashtag Lightshow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hashtag Lightshow.
Amazing.
Lightshow the show.
Oh, incredible.
Hashtag I saw the light show.
Yeah. And so that, I think that's my move.
That sounds like your move, definitely.
So when you seek help from your audience, which he was sort of slyly doing, roll plus superior.
Wow, crushed it.
That is an 11.
At least, I think he's got plus superior,
yeah,
too.
So that's an 11 plus 2, so nice. 13.
Yeah.
So on a 10 plus, they only make a small, so on a hit, someone in your audience can hook you up. On a 10 plus, they only make a small demand.
So the fan is someone whose name is Saw the Light. It's mm-hmm. they're a big fan. Yeah, they like your stuff.
I know Saw the Light.
You know Saw the Light. Yeah. They're great. They do some very nice fan art. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she tweets at you saying, I haven't seen them, but I think I know where to find them. I'm a little nervous. Because they're really bad news, right? And the kind of like nervous laughing gif. And then the next one says, I can DM you my phone number and I can like show you where it might be. Smiley face. And then like a super awkward giggly gif to follow that up.
So I guess Lightshow will respond publicly.
Yeah.
And say, of course it's a serious, what did she say? Of course they're dangerous. That's why Lightshow and his friends need to deal with these villains. You wouldn't ask for anything less of me, and I wouldn't provide anything less.
And then it's just like a swooning gif, and it just becomes a thread. That's for like for the next like 15 minutes, people are going to be sending me swooning gifts.
And then he's going to privately DM her.
Yeah. So like there's like a little bit of back and forth. And it turns out that she has a friend that is an art student that went out to this big cemetery and found these claw marks on a grave. And like they were kind of just doing some artsy stuff, kind of doing some history of Protean City things. And it seems like that's actually the grave of Vampira Mascara. And they sort of like went around doing some tracks that they were Scooby ganging this. And they found this mausoleum that the door had clearly been like wrenched open at one point. And it was closed currently, but wrenched open before. And she's like, just says, like, she sends you the address for it and says that she's going to be there to show you exactly where the mausoleum is.
He's just going to text back and be like, stay safe, leave the heroics to Lightshow.
Yeah.
Be there soon.
Okay, great. So...
Hashtag Lightshow.
Yeah. And so, are you going along to the graveyard? I assume that you are.
Yeah, so Lightshow would, like, pull out his phone and show you the pictures and be like, I don't know, if you want to go check on your trainer guy and see if he's okay first, but I think I have a lead.
You told people about this?
Yeah, everybody knows about this.
I told you extensively how dangerous this was.
He has so many followers.
It's going to be so awesome. They're all going to see it.
They're all in danger. People are going to get hurt.
That's why we got to go save them.
You're supposed to be better than this.
It sounds like you might be provoking. Are you trying to provoke him to do something?
I think I'm trying to provoke him.
What are you trying to get him to do?
Scatter the crowd.
Okay. Kind of get them to step.
Yeah.
All right. That is a roll plus superior,
which is a flat zero.
All right.
That's a six.
Okay.
All right. That is a fail.
Yeah. That's okay, though. You're saying, like, you're lecturing Light Show. People have lectured you all the time. You know, water off a duck. But as the two of you are as he's talking at you, you glance down at your phone and you see that you have a new message from this girl. Let's give her a name. From Katie. And it is a picture of this girl, probably 15, 16, blonde hair, and she has just a horrified look on her face because next to her in selfie mode is a like drawn vampiric woman's face with like just like jet black hair that's like just fraying out at all angles, and like part of her face is just the skin and the flesh is just missing, and it's just like skeletal underneath. And she has written, see you soon, Light Show. Bring the doctor.
Okay. And so looking down at his phone and then looking back up, Light Show's just going to be like, look, Doc, I hear you. Like, but to some extent, like, you're a kid, I'm a kid. Like, kids are out there in dangerous positions, and like, I'm not responsible for them, and protecting them and stuff. That said, I think in maybe this case, it's possible you might have been right. And then I show you the picture.
And I think I shove you aside before you even like, you go to show me the picture, and I shove you aside, and I'm already like running out the door. Not to head to the graveyard yet.
Yeah.
But to head because people have been made in danger of this, and the location has been made public.
Yeah.
So now there's that creeping uncertainty of like, maybe he's in danger.
Okay.
Now there's this certainty of like, even if he's not in danger, he's gonna be there.
Yeah.
And he's in danger.
Yeah.
And I can't lose him. I can't lose the only family that I have ever had.
Yeah. The next panel shows Angel, and it shows him first in his apartment, and he's got like an old-fashioned CRT computer that he's seen some of the stuff going on, and just has seen the public tweets, because he's also has like one of those flyers. And then we get a panel that shows him going into a closet and pushing a button and like a secret door opening up behind it. And he takes out a mask. It's not his mask. It's just a black mask. Very plain.
Mm-hmm.
Grabs kind of a heavy leather jacket that's all busted up and takes down just a massive claymore style sword. And then he's about to just start leaving with that. And he's kind of even just like dragging it. It's an enormous thing. It's his vampire slayer.
So I love the idea that this sword is this huge, like it's his vampire slaying sword. And so cord through the middle of the blade, all the way from the hilt to the tip, is a wooden spike.
Amazing.
That's so good. Yeah. So he's dragging this, and he passes by his patio, his, you know, the full length door.
Yeah.
And we get the first panel is him dragging the sword on one side, and we see the patio window.
Yeah.
And the second is he's dragging it to the other side, and we see the outline of Doc standing there, like the outline of it against the night sky.
Yeah.
And he just and Doc just says, how do I stop her? And I'm going to use specifically my words of the past move. When I seek the guidance of one of my elders or a member of my legacy, tell them a problem and ask them a question. Take plus one ongoing if I listen. If I go my own way, mark potential. And I just said, like, the panel is just the outline with the word bubble. How do I stop her?
And he opens the patio door and just like moves back into his living room. And he's like, he's leaving just horrible scratches in the mm-hmm. hardwood, but he doesn't care. He looks so, so tired.
Mm-hmm.
He goes over to the mantle. He has just like a little ceramic container mm-hmm. with a lid. And he lifts it up and looks inside and kind of like puts a finger inside and pulls it out. And there's nothing on his finger. So he clinks it back down and he turns and looks at you. And he says, Mascara Vampira was the most dangerous woman I ever came toe-to-toe with. She is fast, powerful, deadly smart. Smarter than I've ever been. Hell of a lot smarter than you. And he kind of like...
We get a close-up on the jaws, and we see the little black film. We see the mouth, and we see it with that slightest smirk.
Yeah.
And we get the word bubble, hell, a lot smarter than you.
And he kind of drags the sword over to you. It's too heavy for him to lift because he doesn't have the mask anymore. Mm-hmm. And he sort of like just holds the hilt of it up to you and says, there is no room for mercy. There is no space for hesitation. You cannot be dragged into her games. She will always be trying to get to you. But you have to kill her and anyone she works with, and anyone gets in your way, they've got to go too. She could be in their head. I turn on the news. There's a big crowd of people out there. Yeah. Every single one of them could be infected. With her hate, with her malice. This is bad, Luciano. This is very bad.
I know, but it's like you always said. It takes a demon to hold back the gates of hell. And he pulls him in for a hug.
Yeah, and he gives like a good, firm hug. And like he's doing that hug that it kind of like holds the back mm-hmm. of your head. And just gives like a pat on that. And then the next panel shows Light Show.
Yeah.
And how do you get around?
I'm so glad that you asked.
Oh my god, I can't wait.
He has what he affectionately calls the light cycle, which is
oh my god.
It's not like a real motorcycle
okay.
because he's only 15.
Yeah.
It's basically a bike that it's like I forget what there's a word for it, but it's basically like a bicycle that has okay. like a small like single stroke engine attached yeah. to it.
So,
and you still have to like pedal it to get it up to okay. speed. And it's got just as many of those little like things that like glowy sparkly things that like slide up and down yeah. the spokes of the wheel, and it's a bike that has a lot of spokes on its wheels
yeah.
And so it's constantly and it just like lights up, and he usually just like kind of like shoots out some light out of his feet as he's driving, and the whole rest of the bike is painted in like neon like glow in the dark paint.
So like when it's sitting in like a garage, it looks like a crappy bike.
Yeah, but when in he's motion, on
it,
yeah.
it looks like just bright, shiny.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's
that's
amazing.
Perfect.
And
I
he's
love
got
it.
Some like some like light conducting like filament that goes okay. through the handlebars and runs into the rest
nice.
Of the bike. So when he's like he's grabbing the handlebars to like to like drive the motor.
Yeah.
And to like to steer and stuff. He can shoot light into it. And it makes the whole bike light up.
Amazing.
There's probably a lava lamp somewhere
okay
attached to like where the motor is
yeah
that looks so it looks like it almost like there's that's part of the fuel system
yeah
and it's designed to all like look really fancy, but it actually yeah. probably doesn't even go that fast.
Amazing.
And so he is driving to the cemetery
yeah
because he has a fan there that
yeah
worst case scenario he needs to save. And best case scenario, he needs to save in a dramatic way that will make people love him.
Of course.
Yeah.
So as you're coming up to the cemetery, you see that there is like a group of people. It's primarily young people, primarily people around your age. Definitely some a little older. But my guess is that your demographic
is
more or less teenagers. Yeah. And they're kind of crowded around the entrance to the cemetery. And they're walking in sort of single file, one at a time. Because they're up at the gate, there's a couple of the kids that have these like big wooden crates. And as each person comes up, they're handing them either like a black tie or like a black veil and some white flowers, and then sending them to walk along the path towards a very obvious mausoleum. There's no way that you're going to need Katie's help to find the mausoleum.
Yeah.
It's a big old building. It dominates the cemetery. How many people do you think would show up for a thing like this?
Oh, I mean, dozens.
Literally dozens. Yes.
Literally. Yeah. Dozens.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to also just interject. So, we see a couple of those panels of the people putting on hoods and stuff like that and preparing to walk toward this mausoleum. And the last couple panels of that are sort of subtitled with this like sound effect. And it's like, it just sounds like the wimpiest thing. And so then we get a panel of the mausoleum from wherever the nearest parking lot is.
Yeah.
And then there's just like one like ka-chick sound effect bubble. And we see Light Show like flipping out the kickstand on this bike, and he steps off and rolls up his sleeves, and he's just like muttering to himself, and he's like, "This doctor doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm a hero. I can, people watch me on TV. No one would put me on TV if I wasn't really a hero. Like, I can do this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make these people proud of me, and we're gonna see what happens as a hero now." And he shoots off some lights up into the sky.
Yeah.
And I'm imagining that it's like the weather has sort of hit a point where it's like, it's not raining, but it feels like you can, it's the anticipation is like, you can feel like it's close.
Yeah.
And it's also very dark because it's nighttime.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just clouds.
Very cloudy.
Like, kind of like a feeling that at any moment the sky will open up.
Yeah.
And it will pour and thunder and be terrible. We've got that panel that shows Light Show looking out towards the mausoleum. And I think it makes more sense to kind of jump forward a little bit.
Okay.
How is Light Show getting in?
Is
he walking the heck up?
I mean, there's like a crowd of people there.
Yeah.
Then yeah, he's definitely just walking the heck up.
Yeah. And as you're further from the entrance to the cemetery, you've got fans that are just turning to you with just like wide adoring grins going like, "Oh my God, it's Light Show." And like, people just like turning, taking selfies next to you, and the normal sort of fare. And with each step further in, they seem a little more tired. They seem a little less able to do this.
Can I add a cool thing?
Yeah, definitely.
So one of the things that is like the way that Light Show interacts with his fans is that they have these little like glow sticks.
Okay.
But instead of like cracking them and lighting them up, he just like touches them and like shoots a little bit of light into it, and that makes it, it's like the it's not like the crack and shake light stick, but it's the, like the put under a lamp light thing. And so he just like, as he walks down, he's like high-fiving people and
their lights and just, are
like,
going up,
touching their light thing that they all have like necklaces or something like that, and they're all lighting up.
And I bet the further you get, like you start touching lights and they start not lighting up as much.
Probably. He's just kind of like shaking his hand and you're looking at it going, what's going on here?
Damn, thing's not. And so we get like a view looking down at this crowd that's kind of moving into a single file line. And like on the outside is just this bright, luminous, wonderful light from all of these people like holding up their sticks with just big grins on their faces. And each step further, each step further, each step further. And when you get to the front, there are two people standing there. They look like just regular kids. But they are definitely wearing like mortician style suits.
Mm-hmm.
They're not morticians. They're way too young to be morticians.
Yeah.
And they've been handing black ties and black veils to people, and they look to you and they say, I'm so sorry to hear of your passing, Light Show. Is Dr. Demoniaco Jr. going to be sharing a grave with you, or will you be taking two separate graves?"
And Light Show is gonna like look at them, like make eye contact with his fan and just like look very somber. And there's like a couple panels back and forth of them just looking
Yeah.
And then there's a speech bubble over his shoulder that says, Mascara Vampira will prefer to be cremated.
Nice. And then, and Light Show, and then like the next panel is like just the lower half of Light Show's face.
Yeah.
And it's this huge smile. And he just says, I've never been more alive in my life. It's Light Show time.
Definitely a splash of Dr. Demoniaco Jr. just like squared up, barrel chested. I've never described his full costume, but he's shirtless.
Yeah.
He's got wrapped wrists. And he's got full pants with kind of tassels along the side, like red tassels. He has a tail that's sort of a same kind of braided design that his horn things are.
Yeah.
And he's wearing like bright red boots.
Yeah. And I think we've got a one page panel that just shows a Light Show just luminous in this darkness and Demoniaco behind him with the sword like slung over his shoulder, carrying it like it's nothing.
Can we get like one panel of Light Show turns around and they see each other and they do the like tough guy like high like grabbing each other's hands, but they're still kind of to some extent they're kind of skinny kids still, and so it doesn't quite have the same effect.
Oh, like. I bet what it is we see like the buff hand, we see like the two buffs, like the buff super, we see like the superhero arms, and they slap hands, and we see a little bit of the over top of the like super buff, we see a little bit of that outline of the scrawny beanpole kid arm, and they're locking in,
just like ghostly image beneath, perfect, and. Then at that point, they try to hand you some just like a bright red bouquet of flowers each to carry in with you.
Are they roses?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Light Show will take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We should clarify the kind of flowers because that's gonna make a difference.
You go to take it. And I, with the flat side of the sword, swat them to the flipping ground.
Oh, come on, man. My fans were going to love those.
Your fans will have, if we get like a real close-up shot as we see like his posture sag, your fans will have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. When they see Dr. Demoniaco Jr. and Light Show destroy these villains once and for all.
All right, that's what I'm talking about.
As you're starting to approach the mausoleum, there is shaking, and there's like rumble, rumble. There's the patented lots of little sound effects at the bottom of the panel that Protean City does way too much.
Close-up of like stones, like little stones. Like,
yeah,
and... I think it is important to note there's a single close-up shot of, as they're walking... close-up shot of Demoniaco taping his wrists higher than he normally does, like taping along like the knuckles.
Okay.
Just very conspicuously.
Okay.
As though something were to happen in a moment.
Oh, interesting. And so there is that rumble, and both of you can definitely see and feel that happening. And then abruptly, maybe 100 feet in front of you, all around the mausoleum, the floor starts to just drop and the ground just sinks into itself like a sudden enormous sinkhole. We know where this is going. This is forming a big Colosseum style thing, but there are brainwashed, mournful fans walking their way slowly in. And they're not conscious of the rumbles. Mm-hmm. And you can see that they are going to be falling in enormous amounts of danger now. Like, and it's quick. There's, and then just collapsing earth.
Is Katie, or like, I see the light, is she here somewhere? Like, do I see her anywhere?
You haven't seen her yet.
Okay.
The people that have gone into the mausoleum seems to be like dropping as one force. The people in there might not be, they're not in as much danger as the people that are on the kind of like the edge of this sinkhole. Because that's kind of dropping as like a, this is moving to get into position and the ground around it is falling. But you haven't seen her yet.
Okay. So there are people who are about to fall.
There are people like falling? Fans. Yeah, they're like, as the ground starts to fall, you can see them losing their footing and like falling into the sort of avalanche of stone. It's as though like essentially like the ground underneath was hollowed out and is now being shown for what it is.
I raise the sword over my head and I say, "It's us you want, not them." And I throw it to the ground and it shatters and explodes. And we get like a close up shot of the sword just shattering.
Go ahead and roll to provoke.
Okay.
An 8.
There's an 8 plus 7 and 9. They can instead choose one. They stumble, they err, or they overreact.
So we get that. We get the sword being thrown down and just shattering and shards of it kind of like spreading out and bouncing up from the ground and freezing in like a sort of red mist. And that same red mist suddenly is around a lot of the fans that are falling. And they just slow and just are gently deposited onto steps leading down. And down at the bottom, you can see that the mausoleum, the walls of it have folded out to form four stands. And in the center is an enormous dark pentagram-covered wrestling ring with rivulets of blood running all through it.
And from this floating mist with chunks of sword and stake, I shoot my hands out to the left and right, and I grab hold of sharp chunks of stake.
Yeah.
And I jam one sharp chunk of stake into that conspicuously high wrapping on my wrist,
mm-hmm.
and I just kind of hold up my hands, and I say, "We end this."
And I think the last panel of the comic shows the two of you, like, just looking over your shoulders down into the ring. And standing in the middle is Katie, I saw the light, in, like, full wrestler ref outfit. holding a microphone that has a skull on the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Lunito and Mascara Vampira both down there. Lunito is huge. He's not a regular werewolf. There's something wrong with this kid. He's a monster and just piles of muscle and fur and fury. And Mascara Vampira is a drawn and hateful vampire with just holes in her. Spaces where you can see her skeleton beneath, an entire arm and most of her side that is just gone and is just replaced with this red spectral mist. And she raises a hand up to you and she says,
"Then come to your grave."
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Dr. Demoniaco Jr. was played by Jeff Stormer, who can be found on Twitter at Party of One, which is also the title of his hit podcast, Party of One. Light Show was played by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at AndTheMeltdowns. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.